In the first book of Samuel, we follow David's story from the beginning. Today we just got a little snapshot. And we see these difficulties that he encounters throughout his time. Often Saul, the king, is one of the obstacles in his life that he keeps running into. He keeps kind of being in exile because of Saul. And he has these moments when he could take revenge, and he doesn't. And these encounters, these experiences that David has, really make him the man that he's meant to be. These events are what serve to sort of shape David and make him the king that would eventually lead Israel and free them from their enemies. We can come to learn to see how God comes to us through the obstacles in our life, the events that challenge us, and how do we find union with God through these things that happen to us. Benedict XVI once wrote, "We are called to live in unceasing union with God, drawing close to God in every detail of our lives." Do we actually seek that out? Do we want to live that way? Seeking the Lord in every detail of our lives. A lot of times we just see the obstacles, right? The challenges. Do I really believe that God comes to me even in those things? On our retreat a few weeks ago, Bishop Cousins gave a story. He talked about a missionary of charity sister. She was talking to him at Mother Teresa's order. She was talking to him and she said, "I love being in crowded places because it's in those places that I can be alone with the Lord, with Jesus in my heart." Interesting. Really? That's what you think of, sister, when you're in a crowded place. Usually I'm like, "Get out of my way. I'm trying to get somewhere, huh? Come on." And she has this awareness of God's presence in a great crowd. Isn't that an amazing thing? What's missing from my life that I don't see those as opportunities, huh? How do I draw close to God in every detail of my life? There's a book called Abandonment to the Divine Providence. And again, Bishop Cousins was talking about this, and he said, I've read it once, and he reads it all the time, apparently. He said, "I read the book the first time, and what it proposed, I just said, that's crazy. You can't do that." And basically, it's this method of saying, everything that I have, everything that I experience in my life, is God speaking to me, God showing me, God wanting to be a part of my life, and drawing me closer to Him. All these little things that I see as challenges are really a way that God is inviting me to draw closer to Him. So he said, "That's crazy. I can't believe that." And his spiritual director said, "Well, why don't you read the book in about a year from now?" So that's what he did. Picked it up again, and he read it again, and he said, "Well, maybe he's not crazy, but there's no real way to live this. It's ridiculous to try to live that way. I can't do that." And spiritual director said, "Well, why don't you pick it up in about a year?" So then he read it again. I got to read this book again some more times because I thought it was crazy too. And he said, "I began to say, you know, this is crazy, and I don't think I can do it. I need to start trying to do it. I need to start living it in this way to see God's grace working through all these things that I experience." And there's really two ways. There's the active and the passive ways which God kind of refines us and works in our lives. The active is like the things that we choose for ourselves. It's the schedule that we put together, the things that we try to do, the duties that we have according to our state in life. You know, if we have work, we got to do our work. If we're married, we've got to take care of our family and so forth. These things that we're bound to do by the church and by the laws of the church, all these things are the active sphere. It's like this kind of sets the boundaries. And that's part of it. And then there's the passive side of things, which is what God chooses for us. And as you can probably imagine, those are the harder things. And lovingly accepting those things as God sending them to us, each and everything. Emphasis on the loving acceptance, right? That's hard to do. That's all that's required for us to be holy. That's all we need. All right, these two things. As soon as something is impossible, you know, if it's hard, difficult, that's one thing. But if it's impossible, say there's a storm, there's a blizzard, or maybe I'm sick and I can't go to Mass. Well, then it's no longer a duty for me. But, you know, on the other hand, if I just decide, oh, I don't want to do that, well, then I'm going against my duty. And then there's the acceptance of what the Lord offers to us. The Lord promises us that He'll never give us more than what we can handle. He'll never give us more than what we can stomach. And we have to trust that. We have to believe that. And if that's true, then by God's grace, both these things are possible with God's help. So we need that conversion in our lives, that conversion to see these things as God working on us. Do I believe God wills my holiness? Do I actually believe that? The Lord, you do want me to be a holy person? If I do, what is God going to use to make me holy? What's he going to use? What are the little instruments he's going to use? If you think of like a marble block of marble and an artist chiseling away on the block. Well, God is the artist, right? We're the block of marble. We need to be worked on a little bit, formed a little bit. And the instruments which he uses are going to be those little things that come to us, that bother us, that cause problems for us, that seem to be in my face all the time, and I can't get over this thing. The difficult situation that happens in my life, what we need to have is that conversion of faith that allows me to see this as Christ's instrument to make me holy. All these hard things that Jesus talks about in the gospel, that's kind of these things brought to fruition, we might say, or brought into practice through that conversion of faith. I've used this image before, but if you ever worked on a farm, especially back in the day, you'd have to go pick rocks, right, in the springtime. Oh, I love picking rocks. It's my favorite thing. No, nobody usually likes picking rocks. My dad would always talk about it. My uncles would talk about it. Picking rocks. Like, do that every year, all the time. Well, this is kind of an image for us. You know, the circumstances in our lives bring out these little rocks and these things that come up every spring, and there they are, we got to pick them. And it comes up in our souls. Christ allows these things to kind of work their way up. And these are the hurts, these are the lies, these are the sins, these are the things that need to be removed for us to receive God more fully. And by God's grace, he invites us to remove those things. In his goodness, God allows this process whereby the rocks come to the surface so that we can pluck them out and take them and put them aside. It's unpleasant. It's not fun. But unless we pick out those rocks, they're still there and they block us from receiving God. Our work in the spiritual life is primarily one of removing obstacles. So the obstacles are the things that keep us from receiving God's grace, and our work is primarily removing those things and then allowing God's grace to penetrate. If you think about the sower and the seed, that parable that Jesus uses, there's the rocks, there's the weeds, and then the path, the hardness of the path that keep the seed from growing. So by taking care of all those things, then we can allow that soil to be enriched. So again, there's the active, those things that I choose for myself, the sort of the boundaries that I set up, the things that I try to do, my prayer time, all these things help me to stay on track. They kind of create that foundation which God can work through. And then there's the passive, what God does, what God chooses for me. These come in different things. They come through different circumstances. It could be our family. It could be the challenges there. It could be our parish, you know, or the setting of parish, where it is, where we are. It could be our priest. That priest just gets me every time. Starts Mass late. Can you believe it? Oh. It can be the things that are beyond our control, things that we can't change about ourselves. These can drive us crazy, can't they? And most of these things are beyond our control. And even sometimes we might think of things that used to be within my control. Maybe when I was younger, I had the choice, and I chose to get caught up in this thing, whatever it was, gambling or some kind of periodic sin that I struggle with. And now it's to the point where I can't say no to that thing anymore. Well, that is beyond our control too. It's a thing that God allows us to experience. The danger of the active purifications, those things that we choose for ourselves, is that they can build up the pride, right? If it goes well, we can start to say, hey, look at me. Oh, I can do this pretty good. Can I? Yeah. And that can get to be something that we're prideful about and blocks us from really growing and really maturing and being able to receive. Those interior penances, those things that God chooses for me, they're the things that are really going to make us holy. They're the things that we're really going to grow from. But they kind of work together. Those two kind of spheres work together to help us. And interior penance is accepting God's will and God's gifts, whatever they are, and just receiving those into our lives and working through them. It's easier said than done, though, isn't it? We all think about that. It's It sounds really nice. This sounds so nice, Father. I wish I could just apply that in my life. Well, me too. We're all there. So as we think about that, are these crises, are these struggles the means to God's work in my life, or are they just obstacles? Can I see them for what they are? I think a lot of times the problem is that we don't see these things as the means for my holiness. We just see them as the obstacle, right? If I just didn't have this person in my life, I'd be holy. If I just had a better spiritual director, I'd be holy. If that person, if that priest wasn't in my life, I'd be holy. Yeah, whatever it is, we can start to say, well, this it's this or that or the other thing, and that's why I'm not holy. Well, maybe that thing is what God has given you to make you holy. Do you ever see it in that light? Can we see it in that light? The temptation is that we sometimes feel powerless, don't we? In that place where we're being asked to be formed. We just say, I can't do it. I can't get over that. And I just feel powerless. And when we get to that place of being powerless, that's often the very place that Christ wants to work most effectively or most prominently in our lives. And instead of surrendering to that, we say, it's just an obstacle. If I just could get rid of that, then I can start to become holy. So I think the key is learning to turn to the Lord, to surrender ourselves in that, to learn to see Him working through these events. This Lent, I want to spend some time kind of digging through this concept, this idea, this method of growing closer to the Lord. How do we surrender? How do we begin to surrender? And we'll jump back into this in a few weeks, but for now, let's just ask the Lord to help us to begin this conversion process in our hearts. Lord, help us to see that You are at work in the events that shape our lives, that we can trust You to guide us to holiness through our day-to-day experiences. Amen.